Correctly with the correct amount.
D20 Radio, your gamer's role.
www.d20radio.com.
Quest for the Book of Sorrows continues with episode number 4. That's right, folks, we are back after a little bit of a hiatus. I am PM Vincent, your host. And now, actually, we only have 4 of the 6 players this week. 2 had to bow out gracefully. But we'll do the suspension of disbelief as they are hidden in the background. We'll do one of those things. Right, guys?
Right.
Yeah. Take a second. We'll start round the table. People get familiar with the voices once again as we take a little break, starting with Chuck, as usual.
Hi, I'm Chuck, and we're back with you again tonight. I'm playing Belnor, as usual.
Okay.
And this is Jack. I'm playing Calvin, the magic user.
This is Crispy. I'm playing Trask Girdlerender, the dwarven fighter. And general human wrecking ball.
This is Andy. I'm playing Corbin Graves. He's a human cleric of St. Cuthbert.
All right. Perfect. I do have to say, though, I was listening to the past episodes. I was laughing at the fact that Trask was on the statue pulling the arm down the last time and bashing it. So I did have a good time listening to that.
All right. I thought there was going to be like a bad thing, like smashing it, and then I noticed that I thought maybe I should have him be destroyed by Asmodeus.
I'd like to thank the people that have taken the time to give us some reviews on iTunes. If you want to leave us a review, go on to iTunes and give us that 5-star review. Okay, so last time we were in the room and we had a orc tied up, I believe it was. And Trask and Belnor were securing the room as, I'm sorry, Andy, what was the name of your character again?
Corbin.
Sorry, Corbin, I'll write that down so I remember. Corbin was approaching the orc to question him as, I think that was, yeah, that's about where we left off.
Mm-hmm.
And I will give the microphone to you.
Well, first I want to, in common, talk to the rest of my party and ask them what kind of information they want to try and get from this guy.
We need to find out where the leader Dark Elf is and where the Book of the quest or the Book of Sorrows is. So maybe we could try to get the information out of him somehow.
All right. So I'll go up to him. I assume he's laying down flat on the ground, trussed up. So I will go ahead and sit him up and address him very sternly and say, "Where is Telnok, the dark elf?"
I assume you're speaking in orcish.
Yes.
He kind of looks you in the eyes and then he spits in your face. "I tell you nothing."
"Listen here, little man. You are involved in things far beyond your kin. Where is Telnok? He has stolen the Book of Sorrows."
"You think I'm stupid? I not tell you something."
At which point I turn to Trask, who also speaks Orcish, if I'm right.
Yeah, he does.
And, Trask, maybe he is not aware of how you handled the statue out front. Perhaps he would like a little demonstration here."
For dramatic purposes, can we say that I kept, like, the statue arm in my backpack?
No.
Or was it too big?
Okay. No, way too big. That would have been one heck of a feat.
Just like the forearm.
You could say you have a finger. Forward.
Sorry, Vince, I think I cut you off.
So you took a finger as a souvenir.
That's not intimidating.
The finger of Asmodeus.
I'll finger you with that. Oh, never mind.
So I'll step forward, draw my axe, and kind of like not pat the blade against my hand, but kind of I'm doing the motion, I can't remember what it's called, but slapping the handle against my opposite hand, kind of, and then gripping it tightly, and then I go. That was very unintimidating. So let's try that again.
You sound like you had an asthma attack or something. I wasn't sure.
And then Trask reaches for his inhaler.
All right, so Trask reaches for his inhaler, takes a puff.
But it is a plus one inhaler, right?
Yes, plus one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Gives me a plus one to not dying. So he lets out a low growl.
Okay, the orc kind of glances over towards you and glances back to Andy, and he just, I done nothing. And he looks down.
Well, that's fair enough. This is a small enough place down here to search. When we finally meet Telnok, we'll be more than happy to tell him how helpful you were.
No, you tell him nothing.
Oh, I'll tell him all about how you were so eager to help us. In fact, you wanted to come along, but we decided it wouldn't be safe.
Oh, man. He looks at you with a horrified look. His eyes widen up. He goes, No. I tell. You let me go if I tell.
It depends on what you have to say.
What you want to know?
Where is Telnok? Where is the Book of Sorrows?
In the ceremony room.
Where is that?
Level below.
How do we access the level below?
You find the stairs on the northwest quadrant. Well, he wouldn't say quadrant. Northwest area.
Corner,
yeah, that sounds good. Belnor.
Yes?
As you were standing there watching, and you, from the far end of the room where one of the orcs escaped through, you happen to notice a shadowy figure standing there watching you guys out of the corner of your eye as you're glancing around. Continue.
Can I tell, like, how tall it is, or...?
A very small, probably about... under 2 foot, around 2-3 feet.
Okay, I'll just kind of keep an eye on it without being obvious.
Gotcha.
I won't say anything at this point.
Okay. Was there any more questioning?
Ask what's behind the floating door.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the floating door.
Tell us. Where does the floating door go?
Me no know.
Why are you here?
Why are we all here?
Yeah, a philosophical orc we don't need. Thank you very much.
Hi, I see your mortal conundrum, orcish friend. But I ask you.
Yes?
I was just... not going anywhere. It was just the philosophical form.
Can you tell us any particular dangers, traps that may await us?
He looks up at you and he goes, there are lots of traps and lots of many of my brothers around, so be careful.
How many of your brothers?
He says, me lost count after toes.
Do orcs have
that
five
means
toes?
There's more than 20.
Yeah, depending on what picture you look at of them, they could have five, they could have three. It just really depends on what picture you look at.
How many does this orc have?
Let's go with five.
Okay.
Five toes total, or five on each foot?
Five on each foot.
All right, this is very important.
Does anyone remember how many orcs we killed already?
Eight. Well, seven.
Okay.
There was eight in here.
Okay. Can you think of anything else we need to ask him?
Not me.
No, not really.
I'm asking everyone in the group in common now, so he hopefully can understand. Should we let him go? Should we dispatch him? Should we leave him here tied up?
What did you tell him?
I said his release was depending on what information he gave us.
He gave us pretty fair information.
But how do we know he's not going to run out and tell his brethren?
After that, after he hears Corbin say that, he steps up, plants his boot firmly in the orc's face, and he goes, "You've been very helpful." And he just kicks him in the face as hard as he can.
All right.
Hoping to knock him out.
Yeah. That you knock him out. He appears to be passed out.
And then I cut his bonds. Oh, that solves that.
Belnor, you hear the from the side where the shadowy figure is, you hear a little psst. Come here.
Okay, I'll kinda get up and while they're untying the dwarf, I'll just kinda wander over in that direction and stand nearby.
Come here. You see, as you're getting closer, the shadowy figure is moving back down that hallway that's to the side.
The one that leads to the desk?
No, this is a different way.
Okay. The one that the orcs are trying to escape through.
Yeah.
We have company.
You say that to us?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he meant the barking dog in the background.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well, but just wanted to clear up for the listeners at home.
Oh, okay. All right, so he tells the group he has. Looks like we have company, guys.
Kind of look at him confusedly.
Now, if I'm just to get my geography right, we're in this big room, and there's a door on the east wall that we came through, big double door.
Yep.
And a kind of opening in the northwest corner.
Yes.
Okay.
Which Belnor is now standing near, as he turned around and said to you guys, "Looks like we have company."
All right.
What is Galvin doing?
I'm looking around the room to see if there's any orcish equipment that catches my eye or anything else unusual in this room.
No, nothing really catches your eye, honestly.
Okay. And when Belnor said we're not alone, I walk over to him and say, "Hey, what do you mean?
Do we have a light source?"
I think one of you guys have a torch. Somebody has a torch.
Well, it's dimly lit in here, so you all can see each other. We decided at the beginning, I told you it was a dim lit throughout the whole entire cave area. Okay. Dungeon area.
Sorry.
Lighting a torch will make you see a little clearer, but really won't do much more to help, so.
I'm just looking up to see if I have a... Nope, I don't have a lantern or anything. Well, I say we go at least to that opening and see if we can see this figure.
being very careful because it's probably a trap.
As you guys get closer to the door, you notice that same thing like could happen to Chuck, I should say, Belmore, the figure moves deeper into the shadows into the other room.
Can I make out the figure with my infravision?
When you look at it, you see that it is a small, greenish, reddish creature with fangs and horns.
Hmm.
And he's wearing, like, a leather vest, and he's holding what looks to be possibly a walking stick.
I'll tell the others what I see.
Right. And he seems to be standing on the other side of the entrance, which looks like it leads into another room.
I'll go ahead and walk into that opening.
Okay.
Kind of try to stride right up to the figure.
I'll pull my crossbow out to cover him.
Okay.
I'll tag along with Belnor.
As soon as you guys walk through the archway, you feel the ground give way. And you feel nothing underneath your feet as you do one of those Scooby-Doo things and stand in the middle of the air for about a minute and go, rut-row.
Rut-row.
And you, boof, gone.
Oh, Lord.
And you guys start sliding down a, like, slide-type thing in a tunnel thing. Think, I don't know, Goonies or something.
I hate cobalt.
And then, Trask, you see the little figure laughing.
I'm gonna take a pot shot at him. I don't know if I'll hit, but damn monstrous humanoids. I got a 13 on my roll.
Oh, and you misses. He's just way too small for you to hit him.
Damn.
Yeah, he's like your size.
No, he's like smaller than you.
I go to the opening of this pit and shout down to see if our party members are okay.
You shout down, all you hear is,
like, zoinks, man!
Yeah. And then it stops.
So who all fell in? Was it just Belnor and Gavin?
Yes.
Gavin, rather. Okay. So we can see the pit, right?
Oh, yeah, you can see the actual slide and everything, too.
Hmm.
It's about... from one side to the other, it's about 12 feet. To where the guy's... Well, the little thing is standing. Laughing. Taunting. Hmm.
Do we still hear them screaming as they slide down?
No, it has stopped now.
Okay. Hmm. So I shout down again. Are you okay? Can you hear me?
No response.
Can we see what's on the other side of the pit? Is it just the hallway that continues?
It's a hallway that continues with the little figure standing there. He's actually doing a hula dance now. Taunting you.
Trask. Use that infernal infravision. Can you see very far down the tunnel? Can you see our party members?
Yeah, I'm looking down to see if I can and if I can see them.
All right.
I'll get down on my belly and look like parallel to the slide. And then, so I'm like laying down and kind of looking down the slide to see.
All right, you look kind of look crouching down, laying down, looking over the side. You really don't see much except more slide and more slide.
Oh, actually, so they slid quite a long way.
Who is actually standing around near the edge there? And don't say not me.
I am.
Okay.
Technically not me because I'm laying down. Oh.
Oh.
Lose a million experience points.
Yeah. Okay, I need Trask And I also need Corbin to make a saving throw. I'm just trying to figure out which one it would be. So I'm looking at my chart here. Am I saving throws? I'm going to go with versus. Let's go for paralyzation.
If you match it, that still makes it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I saved.
I rolled a 12. I needed a 10.
So you're both good.
Yeah.
Perfect. Atul, I say as Trask is looking down there and Corbin is standing next to him, Galvin, you notice that the orc has gotten back up and he was charging towards the two of them to push. Looked like he was going to push them into the pit. But you happen to trip him with your staff before he could, and he falls down the slide.
Yay, company!
Actually, wait, no, Galvin was down.
Yeah, I'm in the pit with Belnor.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, my bad. Then he actually trips over his own foot, and you hear, "Wah!"
Was that R2-D2?
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, the Wilhelm scream.
No! Corbin, you get out of the way just in enough of time, and Trask, you feel something go whoo over your head.
Over my head.
And you see the greenish figure go whoo down the slide.
As I watch him go, I kind of look back up for the other party members, and I go, guess I should have kicked him again.
Yeah. Considering there's only two of you in the room. So what are you going to do?
Classic D&D question.
Yeah, I know. Do you just dive down?
The classic D&D question is, are you sure you want to do that?
Is that your final answer?
You know, guys, I think, and hear me out on this, it's a crazy idea. I think that it would be a good idea if we split the party. Let's just keep going down the hallway. And you know, those other guys, they can... No bad will ever come of that.
Let's split up, gang.
And look for clues.
I'll take the hot chick. You guys take the ugly chick.
And the dog.
And the dog.
Oh, man. Trask is the dog.
Oh.
Ricky's rads?
You see the little figure on the other side when you look at him. He just waves his hand and goes, "Bruh," and he just walks down the hallway. As if he was bored.
Trask, how far can you see in the dark?
I'd say about 60 feet, give or take.
So even if we tied our ropes together, it may not be long enough to get all the way down to the bottom.
Aye, no. Looks like it just keeps going on forever. So I think our best bet would be just to go down the slide.
I don't see that we have much choice. Yeah, dividing the group is suicide.
Aye.
After you, my dwarven friend, maybe I can land on you.
I guess you guys are going.
Yeah, I'm just gonna like kind of like a water slide, just kind of ready myself and pull myself down face first.
Wow.
Uh-huh. He's okay. A wild man of a dwarf.
He okay. Woof. Woo-hoo-hoo!
How steep is the slide, by the way?
You want a degree angle? 45.
Okay. So certainly not anything we could walk down.
No, you'd probably slide down. Yeah. Well, you might be able to walk down. It'd be really tough.
I'll go ahead and slide down. I'm going to slide feet first, though.
Oh, goody. So you can kick Trask right in the ass when you fall down.
Exactly.
Okay. Now to Belnor and Galvin, who have slid down the slide for it seems like forever. And they finally launch themselves into a room that is filled with bones.
Oh, yay. Huh. Oubliette.
You see there are dozens of winged boned creatures scattered across the floor in this room, each about the size of maybe a cat or a dog.
Oh, Lord.
The broken bodies look like they could be bat-like or they could be bug-like. At the same time, you're unsure. But it does look like the bodies do have winged bones or the cartilage that was attached to them at one point. They have approximately, from what you gather, the two of you, they have six legs. And they look like they had, on their skull was a long snout-ish type thing that could have been kind of like a mosquito's thing. But they're all dried up and bony now. But there's no sign of what killed them. And the first thing that you do see in this room is the DM losing his notes. You see a couple doors upon a quick search. You see one to your north, you see one to the west, you see one to the south, and you see one to the east. And then you guys stand up, brush yourselves off. Within a few minutes, you hear, "Yarr!" And you see a little dwarven figure come flying through the hole. He lands on the floor, and then you see Corbin, woohoo, sliding through.
He lands on me, right? Just, I think it'll be funnier if he lands on me.
Sure, he lands on you, just to make it funnier.
So there was no orc that popped out?
Nope.
Uh-huh.
Huh. Where did that orc go?
I don't know.
Crap.
So you said there were exits on all four walls?
Yes, sir.
Well, we did make it one more level down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did. And the area that you came out of is probably about 35 feet in the air.
Ow!
The bones gave you a soft landing. Climbing up would probably be a hard task at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
How high is the ceiling in this room? I mean, the tunnel entrance is 35 feet up. How much higher is the ceiling?
Probably another 15 feet. It's enough that you had a nice little arc when you came flying out. You wouldn't hit the ceiling.
I would... These creatures, even if they are dead, must have come from somewhere. And I fought their like before and do not look forward to doing so again. Might I suggest we leave this room as soon as possible?
Well, we're supposed to find that dark elf to the northwest, so do we want to go north or west?
North.
North.
Okay, to the north is a stone door. And it appears that it possibly could be locked by looking at it.
Hmm. We don't have a thief with us today.
No, you do not.
Ah, Mike's! Ah!
Well, let's look at the door on the west, then.
The door on the west appears to be a wooden door. No lock on it. No lock visible, at least.
Hmm.
That looks like the way we're going.
Yes?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. You open the door slowly as you... It actually opens inwards, I should say outwards, to the left, which is kind of odd. You guys wonder, like, hmm... And you see another door right on your right-hand side as soon as you open up the door. But then there's a hallway that continues down and curves to the right. And if you look around the door, there's another hallway that continues down to a dead end for another 30 feet.
Could you describe that one more time, please?
Sure. You open the door. It swings away from you to the left.
Mm-hmm.
The hallway continues down straight and curves to the right. As soon as you open the door, like right on your right-hand side there, there's another door right there.
Right.
And if you say the door is still partially open, if you look around behind the door, the hallway continues down to a dead end for another 30 feet.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
So that dead-end hallway goes to the south?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a door to the north, and then continuing to the west, that's the hallway that curves.
Correct.
Well, I say let's examine that door just to our right.
Appears to be a wooden door with a brass handle. There appears to be no locks on this door.
Can we hear anything on the other side?
Let's see. You hear no movement on the other side.
I say we open this door just to see what's there.
Okay.
Well, I think I've made a pretty good trap finder so far, so I will go ahead and open this door.
Okay, the room is very dark, so you really can't see inside this room. There appears to be no natural light source like the rest of the rooms have. You do hear the sound now of dripping water very slowly in the background, like a bloop, bloop. And the room does smell of possibly rotting meat or something. You're unsure what it is.
Are the drips of water echoing like it's a big space, or does it sound like it's really close? Or
it's like a close drip. It's not really a big, echoey drip.
Okay.
You, I know Belnor had a torch on him. Pretty sure if I learned.
Yeah, at one point I did.
You were going to say something, Trask?
Yeah, what do I see in the room with my intravision?
Looking through Belnor's legs, you see a large chest in the middle of the room, and on that chest you see it looks like a body laying across it.
Hmm.
That's really what you can make out with your infravision.
Boy, lots. I think there's treasure in here. Is what he says to the other party.
Belnor, do you want to light your torch?
Yeah, I'll relight it.
Okay. You see it's a pretty empty room, and there is a large treasure chest, what looks appears to be in the middle of the room, and there's a raggedy old body laying over it, and upon moving the torch around looking, you see that it is a skeletal body.
I'll approach it.
It's a skeletal body, but we smell rotting flesh.
Yes.
Hmm. I was just gonna rush over to the. You guys are gonna hate me. Trask is gonna rush over and is gonna be like, treasure, and he's gonna sweep the body off and go to open it.
All right.
Gosh.
I have a distinct feeling that it is a mimic, but this is what he would do.
You run over, swipe the body away, and you notice there is a lock on the treasure chest that was being hidden by the body, which just crumples to the floor when you shove it away.
The body crumbles or the lock
crumbles? The body crumbles.
Alright.
And it's now just a bunch of rags.
So I don't get stuck to the treasure chest when I touch it?
No, you don't get stuck to the treasure chest.
Oh, thank
God. How tall is the ceiling in this room?
Let me see, hold on. The same... Oh, actually, 30 feet.
Can we see anything? Is there anything on the ceiling? Anything noticeable?
No.
And are there any other doors leading at, out of this room besides when we came in?
No. Upon further inspection, you do not find anything along the walls, but some of the walls are actually not some of the walls. The walls to the north are a tad bit wet, and that looks like where you heard the dripping sound coming from.
Is this natural cavern, has it been hewn out of stone?
It looks like it possibly could be natural. You're unsure.
Even our dwarven friend?
Yes. What's the... hold on, I gotta look up the roll for stonework.
Well, I don't think he'd be worried about the stonework right now. He's more entranced with the treasure chest in front of him.
It's true. I love gold!
So there is a treasure chest with a lock while everybody's inspecting the room.
And while you guys are inspecting...
I was going to say, is that smell stronger towards the north wall?
Yes.
I go in and I grab Trask by the shoulder and say, Trask, calm down, man.
But
maybe a trap.
Gold!
Gold did this corpse no good. Think, man.
I. Calvin, sorry, that's a moment of weakness.
By the wall, when you're searching around for the, because you're sniffing out the smell, you actually find a small leather pouch. And when you pick it up, there just looks like there is a well beyond rotted piece of steak in there.
Ew.
And upon a little bit more inspection, there are some maggots. So there's your protein.
All right, well, I'll just drop that thing. And kind of gag a little bit.
Well, we found the skeleton's rations.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I want to examine this lock a little bit. I don't want to touch it. Just looking at it.
Looks like a finely crafted lock that's a little bit rusted.
Take my hammer and just kind of tap on it a little bit, see if anything springs out.
No, the lock just kind of sways back and forth after you tap it a little bit.
Okay, just making sure it wasn't a poison needle that killed this guy.
Nope.
What's the box? Go ahead and give it a pretty good smash, then.
Smash, the lock does fall off very easily. As Tress' eyes become wider now.
Open it up, lad. Open it up. Open it up. I want to see.
I open it up.
You fling it open, and you look inside, and it goes about... it's probably about as high as your knees right now. Looking inside, you see one copper coin. On the bottom of the treasure chest.
There you go, Trask. It's all yours.
He picks it up and he looks.
And it actually has a smiley face on the coin.
Oh boy. I'm rich beyond my wildest dreams.
Wait, what's on the other
this,
side of
we can retire and give up our life a crime.
What's on the other side of the
coin? Go ahead.
What were you saying?
What's on the other side of the coin?
Yeah.
It says Fun Zone.
Okay.
Oh.
I just wanted to make sure it wasn't another one of those discs for the door.
Oh, no, not that big at all.
Okay. Is this like Willy Wonka's Tomb of Horrors or something? Giant rat man. Chuck E. Cheese.
Trask, why don't you try asking the coin a question? We seem to have luck with other seemingly benign objects giving us some help. So,
Trask, with a very distraught, kind of just decimated look on his face.
The rest of us stand behind him, giggling.
Yeah, he asks the coin, just, where's the rest of your kin?
The coin does not answer you in any fashion.
He just kind of puts it in his coin purse. Kicks the treasure chest.
Do we still have that piece of paper?
Yes, I do.
Do you want to ask it about anything in here, or just move on?
Well, that's a good question.
Trask, when you kick the treasure chest, it falls over and you see a bunch of other copper coins fall out.
Frizzle?
for Rizzle.
All right. Let's grab the... I'm going to go... He's just so happy now. He's just kind of picking up coins.
You see that when you you knocked the treasure chest over, it had a false bottom.
Oh, snap.
And there are about another 100 copper pieces in there.
So 100 divided by... 6. I have a calculator here.
That's not what I wanted. You also notice there are another set of nifty bracelets in there.
Oh, maybe one says something better than inclined.
What did mine say again? Was mine inclined?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them said, I know a bunch of them I wrote down was Dopey, Shorty, and Trath was getting annoyed at one point.
Yeah, I'll pick up the bracelets and see.
When you pick up the bracelets, they seem to resonate in your hand, or like kind of like a hum. They feel different than the other bracelets.
But
they look the same?
Look exactly the same, yes. No writing on them, though.
Oh, I was hoping I'd find one that said duper to match my super.
I guess I'll take off my bracelets and put both of them on. Just kind of see what happens, if anything.
Oh, boy.
Do I get turned into a woman?
No.
Do I get turned into a kobold woman?
No. You... Oh, boy. You see Trash just instantly puts these bracelets on his wrist and... How do I describe this? Let's see. He is now 6'2".
Oh, he is never taking that off.
Oh, man.
Your perspective, Trask, goes from looking up at people to now you're looking down at the party.
I check to see if I'm, like, floating or something.
No, you're just quite a bit larger and fatter now.
Did everything...
I'm still, like, dwarf-fortuned, right?
What, are you checking every limb on his body?
No. I mean, like, is he still, like, the same proportion? Like, his legs didn't get super long, or he's not, like, human-shaped anymore, right?
No, he is just a big, big version of a dwarf.
Huh.
Did his clothing and the rest of him also...
Yes, that's some...
Say yes.
Yes, magically, yes. It magically grew with him.
There's so much hair! Ah!
He's no longer your little buddy now.
Yeah, I'm not going to make any fun of him right now.
So now we have Trask O'Neill in the party.
Yeah. You're a bit confused.
I'm trying my best not to make any Hagrid jokes.
I know. That's kind of what you look like.
You're a wizard, Galvin. this is strange. I have no idea what's going on.
You need to take those off, Trask.
But
this is not right.
He's like, I don't wanna. And like, he's backing up towards the door and he hits his head. Ah!
So we have a giant Trask now.
Hey, Vince.
Yeah.
What time is it?
Game time?
Yes.
You guys probably estimated it's going to be somewhere around sleeping time for you.
I'm not sure about how Galvin is doing spell-wise. I don't remember if you used any spells. I only have one prayer left. Might be a good chance, since we have a closed room here, we can camp here tonight and perhaps... be better prepared to tackle whatever we need to tackle on the morrow.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, I like that too. I'm not too pleased with my spell choice. I know I only have two, but the one I chose just hasn't been very useful.
All right, so who's going to use the rotting meat as the pillow?
I'm going to sleep up against the closed door so that they can't force it open. Because I would weigh like 300 something pounds now.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, I have four spells, that's right.
All right, so is anyone going to take watch, or are you just going to trust in Trask being against the door to like waking up when someone tries to burrow through?
I'm pretty good with relying on Trask's newfound bulk.
Okay. All right, so then you will just say that since nobody's on watch, 8 hours you guys slept?
Sure.
Sure, yeah.
All right, so adjust whatever spells you need to adjust. I know Galvin said he wanted to adjust the spells.
Yeah, I'm going to I'm going to trade on Saint Servant with Sleep, I think.
Sleep.
Here he comes. Terror in the sky.
I'm going to ditch Command and memorize high. Enlarge.
Okay.
Oh, man. You should totally enlarge the enlarged tracks.
Draxilla! Draxilla! Corbin, you going to get rid of anything or change anything?
I'm going to stick with a couple of heals, and I think I'm going to stick with Command.
Okie doke. So, fast forward. Everybody wakes up, refreshed, feeling good, a little hungry, a little nauseous. Nauseous only because of the simple fact no one threw the rotting meat out of the room.
Yeah, probably would have been a good idea.
Too late.
Actually,
now.
I didn't want to draw the attention of any wandering monsters out there who may be hungry and find that appealing.
That's also a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat some rations. Or try to eat some rations.
Alright, so Trask pulls out his rations and is chewing on them, and they seem a little bit under portioned for you.
I have to eat two now. Or the whole day's worth.
Yeah.
Just eat the whole day's worth of rations, and then at lunchtime I'll have another day.
Yeah, it's just kind of under portioned for you. And come to think of it, your axe, you were using an axe, right?
Yeah, I was using an axe and a broadsword.
Your weapons are kind of undersized for you as well. So you
did
probably
double
use,
in height.
Yeah, your axe that you were probably wielding two-handed wise is now probably going to be like, I don't know, a dinner spoon or something to you right now.
Trask and his mighty hatchet.
Yeah, you got like a tomahawk hatchet now, kind of going for you.
It's my shield like a buckler.
If smaller than that, probably. Think of like an elbow pad at this point. Well, it seems like nothing in the room has changed. Nothing disturbed you. Trask was against the door the whole night, and he seems to see nothing bothered him the whole time. So.
The wall that has the water dripping, I'd like to go over there and kind of, like, I don't know, maybe tap on it with my staff, see if I can hear it echo or...
Okay, when you tap on it with your staff, you see some of the rock crumbles away and some more water starts coming out a little more fiercely. Instead of the normal dribble that was coming out, now it's more of a steady dribble.
I'm gonna go and I'm gonna check it for new construction to see if maybe there was they dammed this up or something, or maybe it was a passage or something.
Okay, you walk over and you take a look at the wall, and you kind of figure out that they stopped digging through this way when they came to, because they realized there was a lot of water.
Okay,
but it seems to be coming from upwards as opposed to behind the wall. So it looks like it's filtering downwards.
Mm. And where's the water seem to be going after it goes down?
It's soaked up in the soil, the earth, pretty much. It doesn't seem it doesn't seem to be accumulating much. It's only dribbles of water.
What material is the wall and floor? Is it just like ground, or is it like actual stone?
Well, this wall is kind of like a, I'm trying to say like a dirt wall you'd see in a cave.
Okay.
The ground you're standing on is more or less a soft, earthy type ground. The other walls appear to be kind of more stone-ish, more solid than this wall in front of you.
Okay. Let's see. Does anyone have a shovel?
Yikes.
I do not.
No.
I smell trouble.
I think maybe we can dig through.
What?
I need to go back a little bit. I can't. I can't memorize enlarge. It's not on my list. So I'll just stick with command.
Okay. What are you gonna do, Trask? You said you were about to do something.
I was thinking we might be able to dig through to see where it goes, but it probably looks like it was a stopping point.
You can use your hand shovel.
Do I have it? Oh.
The axe.
Actually, you guys probably
my
one
gardening spade.
Actually, probably one person would have a shovel because normally people use it to bury fires and latrine. They use it to build latrines and stuff like that. They stay in an extended place. So we can say that someone has a shovel.
Okay.
Thinking back, as my character is thinking back to all the other things that Trask has done, that
all his
been
brilliant
a little iffy,
moves.
And I'm like, Trask, are you sure you want to dig into a water reservoir? We don't know how much water is there. What if we all of a sudden are deluged and stuck in this room drowning? What do you
out of character, if I've learned anything from playing Minecraft, never dig directly above or below you. So I was thinking just like a little cave, but yeah, that's what I was saying. This is probably a stopping point. Probably go back down one of the other rooms. Ah, that's a good point, lad. I mean, I don't want you short folk to be drowned.
Oh, wow.
Thrown around this height. I appreciate your energy, Trask. Perhaps we can use it in hunting down this dark elf, Telnok.
Hmm. Yes. So, I guess, yeah, we should probably go back to the room we all ended up in. Can I tell how far we are underground?
No, not at all.
Oh, not at all? No.
So you're going to go back out the door?
And down the hallway to the north. No. Yeah.
There's west. A hallway to the west, and there's a hallway south.
Yeah, hallway to the west.
Yeah.
All right. You go to down the hallway to the west, and it curves back to the north. And it goes about another 30 feet, and then it's a dead end. And the wall is a soft wall, much like the one that was in the room that you were just in, but there is no water trickling down or anything.
Search for secret passages, secret doors.
Yeah, I'm gonna search as well.
All right. Let's see here. Go ahead and roll me up. D6.
I got a 4.
I got a 5.
I got a 4.
Okay, the 3 of you. Is that a Galvin roll too, or?
I rolled a 2.
None of you find anything.
Okay, so we have the passage to the south that dead ends. Maybe there's a secret door there.
Let's go check.
Hi-ho, hi-ho. You go back down the hallway you go. You get to the south, and this is actually a stone, solid stone wall. This appears to be carved.
Yeah, check for secret doors. I got a 1.
I got a 6. 3.
I got a 4.
Who got the 1?
I did.
Okay, you inspect the wall, and you do find a niche in the wall. And it seems to be that you could stick your hand in there, but you don't know where it goes to. It's too far back and deep to see in that niche.
Maybe Trask can see it.
I'm going to bend down and see if I can.
You
I don't want to stay in that position too long. I might hurt my back. You know, bend like that.
You see, when you look down there, you don't see anything down there at all because there's nothing that generates heat in there.
I will reach my arm in.
Before we do that, could we...
Before you do that...
I'm just thinking if we could stick maybe Galvin's staff down there just to make sure there's no needle trap or anything.
Okay. I'll jam my staff down the hole.
God. Family safe podcast, guys.
Yeah. So you slide the pole into the hole, and it only goes about maybe a little over a foot. Not that far, and it stops, and you don't appear to have any snags, or you don't hear any pings or noises or anything.
Even if I wiggle it around a little bit?
Wow. You do feel the staff hitting the other side, as in the wall where it stops, and you do hear like a dirt scraping sound, but that is about it.
Okay. Well, I didn't feel anything unusual.
You actually feel kind of satisfied now.
You guys are terrible.
I'm kind of having second thoughts about putting my hand in there now.
Do you want seconds?
Oh, I'll reach in.
As Galvin is now sinking onto the floor smoking a cigarette. You reach in and you feel the back wall and you're touching around and you do feel like what appears to be a stone. And when you touch the stone, it feels kind of a springy, like you could push it inwards, going downwise.
I will look up at Tarrasque and go, "Oh, I think I found something."
Imitating his voice.
And then I'll push the button.
All right, you do push the button, and you do hear a scraping sound and a large shake, but you don't know where it's coming from. It resonates throughout the whole cave area.
Hmm. I have a feeling this is going to devolve into us like running around all the corridors while Yakety Sax plays in the background.
Oh.
Maybe not. Who knows?
So nothing happened here.
Nothing visually happened here.
Hmm. Well, let's go back down the hallway and peek through the door that we came through that had the stone door and the other two doors and see if any of them opened.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. You pop open the door and peer in, and you do see something different in that room from what was the last time. You see four figures standing around the pile of bones, and they appear to be small, green, and red, and have horns with fangs. Trask recognizes them from the last time.
Kobolds.
No.
No? What are these?
You don't
small,
know.
Green, and
bad
red.
Bad guys.
Bad guys, yeah, that works.
Were they... Yeah. Do they look like the guy that... that got Belnor to go down the hallway?
To Trask, yes.
Okay.
What do they look like to everyone else?
They've never seen them before.
Yeah, you were the only
one
that's
right, because I had my infravision.
Yeah.
This is in the room that we stayed the night in, or is this in the room that we exited the tunnel in? The slide.
This is the one we fell into.
The slide room. They don't seem to notice you at this point.
Oh, man.
Close the door. Very quiet.
I was thinking we could take them by surprise. Mm. I have a dinky little, like, pea shooter crossbow now.
You take like out your hand gun. Crossbow.
It's like a pop gun.
It's like
does anyone else have missile weapons?
Well, my missile weapon grew up, so
I can throw my staff at them.
You know, Trask, you could take the bracelets off and become normal again.
But I'm so tall. Yeah, I'll take the bracelets off for a little while.
All right, you take them off.
Man, it would be great intimidation tactic. It was like, ah, giant dwarf.
You take the bracelets off and you hear wah 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 wah, and you're back to normal.
I'll put them away.
I think I'll put like a transformer transforming sound in there or something. That'd be perfect.
Freedom is the right of all sentient dwarfs.
And you're back to normal, Trask. You're looking back up at everyone. Your weapons are fine, and your clothes seem a little stretched, but they fit fine.
All right, so yeah, I have a missile weapon.
I'm the missile weapon? Are you going to... Nobody chucks a dwarf.
No.
Oh, no. It's Dwarf Hurling.
Did you close the door, or you stayed with the door open and discussing all this, I assume?
I'm pretty sure we closed the door. No. Quietly.
All right. So you warped back to Little Trask. So what are you guys going to do now? You're going to charge into the room, run into the room, what? Leader.
Yeah. my God commands it. I'm over it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm gonna draw my broadsword though.
Broadsword, you're charging the room. Broadsword, Belmore, you're using
hammer.
Hammer, Galvin, what are you doing?
I will be right behind the guys with my staff at the ready.
And Corbin,
I have my. Footman's mace out, and thinking back to this trickery that they used to set us on this trap does not sit well. So let's go in and show them a little something.
So, all right.
Yeah.
Kill them. Kick the door down and kill them all.
All right, so Trask kicks the door, which does not budge at all.
Because it opens this way.
Yeah.
I was being figured. I didn't mean I was actually kicking the door down.
He goes, "Yar! Oh, my foot!" Well,
did I think that was a good idea?
If they didn't know you were there, they do know now.
Well,
okay. Fling the door open and charge in.
You fling the door open, run into the room, haha, weapons ready, and there's nobody there.
What the crap? Just kind of standing there. What? Where did they... I don't even... What is this?
Okay, the stone door to the north, is it open?
The stone door is not open.
And the door to the east...
is slightly ajar.
Hmm. Was the door to the east locked?
We never checked it.
But you never checked the south or the east door at all.
Hmm. I guess we should maybe, if they went, let's check and see if the north door is locked still.
Okay. You go over to the door, and it appears like nothing is changed about it. It still seems locked.
The door that's ajar on the east wall, does it open toward us or away from us?
It is towards you.
I'll pull that open slowly.
It opens up into a large, and I mean large, room. You cannot see the other end of the room from where you are standing, and you do see what appears to be another fire pit with a statue standing over it again.
I found the way I'm going.
Yeah, I'm gonna go that way too.
Okay.
Was this the south door?
This was the east door.
East door. Okay.
East.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I want to make the statue look like a Greek work of art. The missing arms. You know.
All right, so Belnor and Trask both enter the room. I assume that Corbin follows?
Yes.
And Galvin follows too?
Yep.
All right, you go in this room. It's a very large room. There is a door going to the east that is closed. And that appears to be the only way out of the room. The large room appears to be probably about the size of a large ball or hall room. It's made of carved stone. There is a fire pit. There is a large statue of Asmodeus in the same position the other statue was, but instead of being the hand being empty, it now has a small treasure chest in the hand about the size of probably Trask.
Huh.
Is that in the center of the room?
Shove over Trask. Wow. Do we see any kobolds or kobold-esque creatures or small red and green creatures with horns?
No.
In the room?
No.
Damn it, where did they go?
Huh.
Galvin, you don't have prepare magic or read magic or detect magic prepared, do you?
I do not.
Hmm.
Is the fire pit in the center of the room?
The fire pit is below the statue, as at its feet. The statue is probably 9.5 feet tall to 10 feet, you guesstimate.
And is it facing us?
Yes, it is facing you. The statue is facing the front of the fire pit, as if the fire pit was below at its feet.
Hmm.
Well, I'm going to go and inspect the statue.
Well, you immediately see there's a statue of Asmodeus. And the treasure chest does not look like it is a stone or a carving. It looks like a real treasure chest from your point of view. This statue does not have a hand behind its back. It is flush to its side as if it was just resting there normally.
Hmm. Are there, can we make out, is there any like writing or any kind of symbols on the statue?
There are some... some holy symbols, well, unholy symbols on the statue that both clerics will recognize as pretty much offerings to Asmodeus. This seems like this was a return offering in his hand from what the two clerics can gather up by reading the information on the statue.
It was a return offering? You mean like Asmodeus is returning?
Yes.
The offering?
It seems
it is a gift from hell.
It seems that something was given to Asmodeus into the fire pit, and something shall be given in return, is what you guys can read off of the statue.
That's kind of cool.
I want to mess with the arm a little bit that's holding the statue, push up on it, pull down on it, just slightly, see if there's any kind of give to it.
No, it is a solid arm, and it does not appear to move whatsoever.
Okay.
How high up is this chest?
About 6 foot. Yeah, around 6 to 6 foot mark.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Dun dun dun.
Can we see if is there like a lock on the chest?
The chest is not locked. It seems to just have a normal latch on it. And anyone can flip it open that wants to flip it open.
Well, I can't. I'm too short.
Well, yeah.
Maybe we should return the chest to where it came from and dump it into the fire.
Well, I'm wondering
what's in it first.
Yeah, I kind of want to know what's in it. I want a hell sword. That'd be awesome. Dwarf with a hell sword. What's up?
So is anybody going to hop up there and open it up? Or?
Why don't you put your bracelet back on and just pick it up?
You know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to put my bracelets back on.
Okay.
Eat Chuck.
Wop, 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 wop. God. He transforms and he's about whatever I said was 6 foot something height. And you are now chin level to the treasure chest.
Okay. I'm going to, open it up and see. Like, stand on my tippy toes.
All right. You fling open the latch. And you see a bunch of various different weapons in there, actually. You see an axe, a staff, a hammer, and a flail. Mace. Mm.
They seem made for us.
Could be.
You guys, hell weapons! And he reaches in and he grabs the axe out. Starts swinging it around. It's tiny, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of like a toothpick for you right now.
All right, I'm going to put it back in and take the chest off and set it down on the ground, and then take off my my bracelets.
Okay, all the weapons appear to be a goldish coloring with black writing on them.
Do I recognize any of the writing?
It depends on what you look at, and I can probably describe it for you.
I'm looking at the hammer.
The hammer says, Demon's Fury.
Yay.
Is anybody going to pick up the weapons, or?
Yeah, I'm going to, I'm normal size, I'm going to take my axe out and start doing my, like, Conan the Barbarian weapon display thing. Swinging it around like a wild man.
You are swinging around like a wild man. Okay, did you pick up that weapon, or you just looked at it?
I'm picking it up.
When you pick it up, it feels perfect in your hand, but it also feels naughty. That's the best way I could describe it for your class. It was like it was made for you, but it's kind of like this is bad.
I'll pick up the staff and examine it.
It has various carvings and writings in it, and it's very light. It's very fluid. You can flip it around, and that's about all you can figure out about it right now, unless someone wants to try to reading it.
Yeah, sure.
All right, you take a look at it, and from what best you can read was Hell's Flame.
I'll tell him that.
Okay.
Tress kind of stops.
Also look at the axe and the flail, too.
Yeah, he's like, what's mine say? What's mine say?
Yes, he's shoving the axe in your face, practically.
Exactly.
It says... How did I write this down? Hold on a second. All right, okay. It says Hell's Double Tap.
Hell's Double Tap?
Yes, it does.
Trask kind of goes, Hell's Double Tap. What's a double tap? Then he taps it twice on the axe head. Ding, ding.
Nothing happens.
He shrugs and puts it away.
What about the flail?
Footman's Fury. I assume that Corbin does not touch it, probably.
I have not touched it, no.
Yeah, I figured so.
I will explain the feeling I get from it to the rest of the group.
Okay.
You feel naughty.
It's the only way I can really describe it for his alignment and his class.
I get, like, I think dirty, like you feel dirty or maybe unclean. Is that what you're trying to get at?
You kind of feel naughty about it. You're like, ooh, this isn't
good. You feel violated.
Not always go as far as violated, but...
So, I sort of look inside my own inner self, and what do I feel holding this staff?
You feel as if you have the power in your hand to incinerate.
Oh, I like that feeling.
I already know how Trask feels. Badass.
Oh, yeah, this axe is carved perfectly and shaped just the way Trask loves.
He's just like, man, I can't wait to kill something with it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Guys, you know, I hate to look a gift horse in the mouth. But this just seems too easy.
When he says horse, Trask is just like, that gives me an idea.
Trask. No, I'm kidding. All right, so what are we doing with the last weapon that you found in there? Corbin is refusing to touch it or pick it up. He's just kind of looking at it at this point.
St. Cuthbert is not... is warning me... This gift comes from tainted... From a tainted source. I can't take this.
Trask is like, all right, free flail. And he takes it up. Kind of puts it on his belt. He looks like a Swiss Army dwarf now.
Actually, when Trask touches it and says that, his hand ignites on fire as soon as he touches the footman's mace. And he takes 2 points of damage.
Damn.
Okay, I guess that stays where it falls.
As it falls back onto the chest.
Well, I'm like curious now. I reach out and grab it.
It feels,
to see how it affects me.
It feels cold to your touch, as if it's like a deadening cold in your hand. And you, in your head, you feel that this is wrong. As if St. Cuthbert himself was telling you that this was wrong. You shouldn't be using this weapon in the name of whatever.
Yes, I tell them, you know, the impression I get from this. I'm sorry. I have no idea why it affected you the way it did, Trask. This is not a weapon that I can use. I will leave your own conscience to determine how you use yours, but mine will stay here with this evil statue.
And what do you do with it?
Maybe we should throw it into the fire, like I suggested
I throw
in the beginning.
It, yeah, I throw it in the fire.
The whole chest, or just the the flail?
My flail.
Okay. So you wing it into the fire and kind of hits the fire pit, and the fire expands to about as tall as the ceiling. And when the fire lets down, you see that the statue has moved and is moving around the fire pit, heading towards you guys now.
What?
In a not so happy manner.
Crap.
Who dares defy my gift?
Is this like
three sets of fingers are pointing at Corbin?
I've got my new axe, and I'm just like,
wow, they sold you down the river, buddy.
Do we know? Like, can we feel that this is just? This is Asmodeus just, like, angered with us.
You do feel pretty scared. In fact, everybody roll petrification.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I rolled a 4.
I failed.
I made it.
I failed horribly.
I made it by 1. I got a 14 or another 13.
So everybody failed but Corbin? Am I correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
Okay, so Trask, Belnor, and Galvin, when they see the statue coming around and go, oh, crap, and that's what they do to themselves, and they kind of freeze up, as Corbin, you just stand there firmly with the belief of St. Cuthbert in your heart as the statue is coming towards you.
How fast is it?
Very, very slow.
Who's the lightest? I assume Galvin?
I'm 163 pounds. Are you going to throw me into the fire?
He's going to throw you into the fire.
I'm gonna grab you by the scruff of your neck and drag you out.
All right. Which door are you heading towards? The new door or the old door?
I'm heading towards the old door. Which one's closer? I should ask that, I guess.
The old door is probably closer at this point.
Yeah, I'm going to drag him back as quickly as I can. Does he change reaction at all, or is he still frozen?
He follows your lead, but he's kind of like if someone was scared stiff at this point.
Okay. I shove him through that door and then go back to grab... Crispy's probably on the heavy side, so I grab Belnor, my fellow cleric, and try and drag him back. I'm trying to do this as quickly as I can if he's moving slowly.
Yeah, you figure by the time you come back that he will probably be upon you and Trask when you get back.
Okay.
So you pull the two of them out of the room safely, and as you come back and you're grabbing Trask, the large statue of Asmodeus is upon you, maybe about 5 feet away, and he's raising his hand to swipe at you. He's really slow for you, like, wow.
I'm still retreating. I want to get everyone back to safety and hopefully back to normal.
All right. His hand comes flying down, and let me get a armor class from Trask.
Two.
Deuce.
Yep.
Much like what's in your pants right now.
Very much like my pants. Well, shieldless, I'm a 4. I'm guessing my shield won't apply, because I'm petrified, so...
Yeah, it won't apply. The hand swipes down and smacks Trask, and smushes him against the wall.
Ouch.
He's taking 6 points of damage. As he leaves your grasp, Galvin, and gets smacked up against the wall, as like he's a fly or something. The statue straightens up and looks directly at you because now it's your move.
So which side of the room are we on? The southern side or?
You're at this point, you're towards the southwest side.
So he hasn't pushed up against the wall, right?
Yes, he splatted him right against the wall.
Yeah.
Dwarven pancake.
I back away and look over and I want to see... I shout out to Belnor and Galvin. Are you with me? Are you with me?
The two of you suddenly snap out of your state, and you hear him calling your name as if your ally is in trouble from the other room. Galvin and Belnor.
I will cry out that I am with you, and charge in with the demonic hammer in my hand.
All right. Well, as I see him coming in, I say, let me lure him away to the other side of the room. You go in and rescue our dwarven friend. Trask needs your help.
Okay. Trask, you are slowly coming back to consciousness now if you've been smashed against the wall.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
And I'm Galvin, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'll go to Trask and try to get him in safety.
Okay.
So
what exactly are you doing, Corbin?
I've just basically gone to the other wall, the northern wall, just to try, kind of angling towards that door on the west. hoping to draw him away from Trask, and once I see he's out of his grasp, make a run for that door.
The eastern door.
Whatever doors that everyone else was in.
Oh, the other door, okay.
Yeah.
He seems to, he lets Trask slide down off the wall, like, you know, water or whatever at this point. And he follows you across the room as if you are his mission. And he wants to kill you.
That's fine. There's plenty of time for that. I just want to make sure everyone is safe and able to be in the fight.
Belnor and Galvin, get over to Trask, who is dizzy on the floor at this point because of being smashed into the wall.
Yeah, and I'm hurt pretty bad.
Yeah. Heal spell.
What was that?
Nothing.
Yeah. Battle clerk.
Go. I guess you should have
Heal. I'll throw a heal his way so he can join the fight.
Roll up your dice.
And I got a 7 plus my level is 1, so 8.
Sweet.
You don't feel so crispy anymore?
Now I'm back up to full hit points. Oh, I see what you did there. I see your joke and raise you an eyebrow.
You, all three of you, as Trask is getting back to his feet and he springs feeling just fine, you see the statue is closing in on Corbin, who is sort of looks like he might be trapped in the corner, but you're not exactly sure what he's doing at this point. So I assume that Corbin's move is going to be trying to duck around the statue and run to the door.
Yes.
And what will be the other three's moves?
Charge.
Charge with weapon out, new weapon out.
Yes.
Charge as well. Screaming, I hate demons!
With axe out. Mm-hmm. New axe, I should say.
New axe.
And what is Galvin doing?
I will, I'll go, attack the, I'll follow my compatriots who are attacking the,
Alright. Sounds good. Chuck, since we decided you were the unofficial official leader, roll the D6 for the party.
3.
I also had a 3, so it is a tie. Tie goes to the party. We'll start with Corbin, because this is the most risky action going on. He ducks around the creature, since the creature is moving very slowly, as I described, and he runs towards the door. That'll probably take a round and a half for him to get through that door, if that's what your plan is.
Well, I'm going to get to the door and then reassess. You know, if he's right on my heels, then yeah, I would follow through. But if I have enough breathing room, I'm just going to see where everyone else is and where we stand.
All right, so that's a next round action anyway.
Yeah.
So you're running towards the door. Go ahead and my two melees, actually all three of you, all roll and tell me what you got for a roll, because the three of you all are attacking him from behind. And when you're done rolling, tell me what each of you have.
I got an 18.
You connect.
I got a 14.
You connect as well.
I rolled a 10.
You do not connect.
Damage okay. Time.
Yes, roll your normal damage for that, Chuck.
Hey, where'd it go?
I don't know.
I got 4.
You connect with the hammer, and you see it just crushes through the rock, doing more damage than you thought you did originally. And you're like, wow, this is pretty sweet, as you feel the weapon resonate in your hand. It kind of makes a humming sound. And Trask?
I got 8 total.
8. You swing the axe at it, and bang! You hit it with a really hard 8 swing, and then roll another damage dice.
Am I adding my strength as well?
Yeah.
That's a 7.
And you feel the axe come swinging back up and crush the creature as it crumbles to the ground.
Jeez.
Do you understand double tap now?
I already knew. I knew what double tap was, but Trask wouldn't.
Yeah, I know.
He's never seen a firearm.
Does Trask understand now?
He does. So we destroyed him?
Yeah.
Wow. He's looking, ugh, I guess I really do hate demons.
Ooh, okay. And the statue crumbles to the ground, and Corbin, as you turn around, you see your three companions crush the creature into the ground. And they seem like they rallied around and are safe.
Is there anything remaining of this statue?
Yes, it is now in a bunch of pieces on the ground.
How big are the pieces? Like, are they kickable chunks? Can I kick one of them across the room?
No, you cannot kick them across the room. Well, if
not like all the way across, but you know,
if you were bigger, you could.
You quit tempting him.
Puts his bracelets on.
Is there anything left of the flail in the fire?
You walk over to there and you do not see anything inside the fire pit.
I want to grab a piece of this statue and throw that into the fire.
Nice. You throw a small chunk of it into the fire, and the fire seems to die down a little bit. As if the stone was extinguishing it, being in there.
Hmm.
That looks like a plan.
These weapons are obviously very powerful, but they still do not sit well with me. I do not regret my choice. They are evil.
Well, if my enemy decides to put a weapon of such power in my hand to use against him, I will use it.
Aye.
I have a feeling Thor would respect that choice, Belnor. St. Cuthbert, not so much.
Mm. And you guys are all alone in this big giant room with one door to go to, but that's going to stop it this week. Because we've reached the end of the session this week. What have you all learned?
That Trask's bracelets remind me of Apache Chief from Superman.
Doesn't it? I wasn't watching
and
that.
And far bad.
All right, we'll continue this next week, folks, and we'll see where they go, what happens to the next door, and we'll let them use their nice, shiny new weapons. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Peace.
Morning for those of you listening in the morning.
You British folk. Wow.
You have been listening to the Quest for the Book of Sorrows. If you have any questions or comments, please visit the cast at rfipodcast.com. Follow the cast on Twitter at rfipodcast or at facebook.com/rfipodcast. Join us next time for The Quest for the Book of Sorrows.